All right, so I'd like to just mention Ashgayat to Agudas Yisrael for being the catalyst for this shiur. That, of course, we can't take this shiur as a halacha lemaisa de kashir, because so many details are always necessary to know exactly in order to answer a specific shaila. But I hope that we will be able to be ma'irer at least many topics in which a person has to be aware that there's a question of ribis. Interesting to note that the isur of ribis is unusually chamur, is unusually stringent. That normally only the perpetrator of a crime is the one who is responsible and the one who is punished. Mashen came by ribis, the isur of ribis, not only is the lender, the one who lends money by ribis over the isur, but even the borrower, the one who borrows the money and pays the interest, even he's over a lav mafurish in the Torah of loisashich. Not only that, but also interestingly is that in the Isur of Ribis, that anybody who is part of any of the parties that facilitate the document, the contract of Ribis, also are included in another Isa that it says loisasimun olav neshech, that even the witnesses to the contract or the arev, the one who is a co-signer, who because of him there's a loan, or a person who's a broker who brokers the loan between two yidden and brokers the loan of interest, is over the lav of loisasimun olav neshech. The basic principle of ribis, the Gemara tells us, is klala d'ravisa. The rule of ribis is that kol agar natar lei osur. Any time that there's a payment for a delay of payment, any time I'm going to give reward for natar lei, for waiting for a payment, that's or in English we would say for an extension of credit, that is the isur of ribis. The Isur Torah of Ribis has to have two conditions. First of all, it has to be Derech Halvah. It has to be in the form of a loan, that I gave somebody money or merchandise and he's going to give me back money or merchandise. And secondly, it has to be Ketzitza, which means that there has to be a contractual obligation for there to be an Isur Torah of Ribis. If there's no contractual obligation for a party to pay the ribis, even if they do pay money, that would only be an isa d'rabbanan, and it would not be an isa d'raisa. If, however, let's say through a sale of merchandise, there's a delay of payment, and because of delay of payment for the merchandise, you're going to charge a higher price, so then it won't be an isa d'raisa, because it's not derech halvaah, it's not through a loan, but rather through a mekach memker, then it would not be an isa d'raisa, even if there's a contractual obligation to pay a higher price. However, sometimes even with merchandise, with sales, there could be an isa d'raisa of ribis. If, let's say, it's zok fenol of milva, let's say there was an obligation for a purchase, and now the person is supposed to be paying me for the money, and now we negotiate that instead of paying me now, this amount of money will wait another month and you'll pay me in a month, but then you'll pay me a higher price. Since at this point it was already Zokfanol B'milfa, it already became now an established debt and it's not considered any more payment for merchandise, but it's a halacha of now of a halva, so then there could be actually in the case of an Isa Daraisa of Ribis. So basically the gather of Ribis is that whenever a person pays more or pays for the extension of credit, that's where the Isur of Ribis is. If it's a Ribis Ketzutza, which is the term used to say that it's a contractually obligation of Ribis, then it would be an Isur D'Raisa. And the halacha is that Ribis Ketzutza Yoitza B'Dayanim, which means that if a person, let's say Reuven lent $1,000 on 5% interest, and now Shimon pays back the $1,000 plus the interest, so Reuven has a chiyuv to return the interest that Shimon paid him, and it's actually yotze b'dayanim. Bezdin would force the person to pay back that money. It's actually a question: what is the principle that it's yotze b'dayanim? Does it mean Yotze B'Dayanim, meaning that it's like a choiv, like a choiv shemishpat, right, that Shimon has to claim back the 5% interest that he paid? Or is this more like a mitzvah, that just like Bezdin is kaifa, Bezdin forces a person to fulfill a mitzvah, or Bezdin will beat a person to prevent him from doing an aveira? Here too, Bezdin is will force the person to return the ribis. But it's not because of that, so to say, in Chayshin Mishpat, there's a legal obligation to pay. It's also interesting to note, the Gemara declares it, but according to the Maskan of the Gemara, even though Ribis Ktsutsa is Yotze B'Dayanim, and normally when there's a financial obligation on Ruvain, and Ruvain dies, then his children have to pay. If he leaves over Karka, so then there's a Shibud, that the children have to pay the debt of the father. Mashen came by Ribis, even though the Gemara does in the beginning of Ezen Eshech, consider ribis a type of a gezel, a type of stealing. When you're taking, you're being machaser, a person shalokadin, causing a person to lose money improperly, not according to halacha. And there's a chiyuv now, we're saying it's yotze b'dayanim, there's a chiyuv to pay back the money. Nevertheless, if the person dies, there would not be an obligation on the children to return the money. Even if there was a specific object which the person collected as his ribis, the person himself would not have a chiyuv of bedavka to return that object, only because of it's a laz, it's a zilzel, it's a chalashem. People say, "Oh, that's the cow that he got, that he collected for ribis." But as far as the chiyuv of mammon, he wouldn't even have an obligation to give specifically that item back. Just he would have to pay the value of the amount of money that he collected from interest. And by the children, there would not be an obligation to return the object or the money that the father collected in interest, only because of a mitzvah kibbut avayim, because it will be an embarrassment for the father. People will say that that's the cow, or that's the car, or that's the item that this person's father paid with ribis. And the obligation would then only be, the Gemara says, in a case where the father himself wanted to do ditshuva, and wanted to return the object, just was nifter before he had a chance to return the object. So, kaponim, that's the overall rule, so to say, of ribis. The issur of ribis is not only when you lend money and going to be paid back money, but like the first Mishnah in Ezen Eshech tells us, that if I lend you two saw of chitim, a measure of wheat, two measures of wheat, and on the condition that you'll pay me back in a month with 3 bushels of wheat, that also is the Issur of Ribis. The Issur of Ribis is not only by money, but also by objects. Also, there's an Issur of Ribis. But we have to understand also the distinction which the Gemara makes between, let's say, Reuven borrows Shimon's car, and he was driving it around for the day, and then he feels bad. He used up some gas, but he got it at half full. Now he'd like to fill the tank up. So he's giving back now more gas than he had taken from the person. So is this going to be a question of ribis? Because he's put in much more gas than there was. So this is not a shayla of ribis. This is she'ela. For person in English, we use the same words. When you borrow a cow, or you borrow $100, we use the same word borrow, but there's a chilik between a halva and she'ela. When a person borrows a car, so he's returning the car. He's not taking the car to spend and use the car. He's borrowing the car, and he's going to return the car. Therefore, that's she'ela, and you can pay for she'ela. That's, in English, we call that skirus. That's leasing. So even if we didn't make up anything that we're going to pay for the car, when I asked if I could borrow your car, and I use your car, so I can put in gas. I can put in more gas as much as I want. I can do anything for you. Because that's she'ela, that's not halva. Halva is when it's lahotza nitna. When I give you an item for you to use up, to spend, to use up and do what you want with it, and then you return something else in its place, that's considered halva. And there is the iser of ribis. The Gemara says that, which is actually also totally in the first plot of Ezen Eshech, and that is that, let's say a person would lend a person a saw of chitim, one saw of chitim, a measure of wheat, and he's going to amenaz that he should return one measure of wheat. So that's sa'ah b'sa'ah. I'm lending you one sa'ah of wheat on the condition that you'll pay me back a sa'ah of wheat. It would seem that that shouldn't be a problem. However, the Gemara tells us that midrabanan, it's asur to lend sa'ah b'sa'ah. Even to lend the same an item and to return a similar item, even if it's the exact amount of merchandise that you're returning, there's an iser midrabanan because of sa'ah b'sa'ah. And what is the iser? The iser is that we're afraid that maybe at the time when you lent him the saw was worth $1. When the time when you're returning the saw now may be worth, the price may have gone up, and the price is now $1.05, $1.10. So bizarre, then it comes out that you're paying ribbis. So in other words, even though I'm giving back the same item that was borrowed, but nevertheless, in Hilchus Ribbis, we look at it, when you're lending a saw, you're lending a certain amount of value to this person, and now when you're returning, if you're returning, even if it's the same item, but if the value has changed, if the value went up, then it's considered that you're giving ribis. Now the Gemara in the first halacha we paskin, that this would not be a case of ribis deraisa. It would only be, no, even if they made up, that you have to give me back that saw, it's not considered ribis deraisa. Because at the time of the borrowing, since we paskin, the Shulchan Aruch paskins basami kara azlinan, so we look at what the contractual obligation was at the time of the borrowing. At the time when I lent you that saw, the saw obviously is worth a saw, and that's the same price. So therefore, even though later, at the time when you return the object, the price has changed of that object, nevertheless, it's not an isa deraisa, it's only an isa drabonah. Because contractually, at the time of the halva, the contract was not a contract that you should be paying me any more than was originally borrowed. The iser of ribis is even if a person ultimately doesn't gain from it, nevertheless, there's an iser of ribis. Whereas if, let's say, somebody needs money, and I have a line of credit in the bank, or I can go borrow the money from the bank, or borrow the money from a guy, and pay interest on it, and now I'd like to lend it to him, and I don't want to gain anything out of it. I just tell the person, I don't even want to deal with you. You just pay the bank directly, and whatever the charge is, whatever the interest rate of the bank is, that's what you should pay. So I'm gaining nothing out of it. I don't even see any of the money that that person is giving to paying to the bank. Nevertheless, that would be considered, unfortunately, an isa deraisa of ribis, because in this case, I borrowed the money from the bank, so I had a heter to borrow the money from the bank with interest because the bank, we're assuming, is a Goyish bank, and therefore I have that obligation. When I lend it to him and I tell him that he should take care of the interest, just what it cost me, so to say, but that cost of money is a cost of credit, and now I'm charging him that amount, even though he doesn't give it to me, that's considered he's giving it to me, because he's paying my debt. I have now the debt to the bank for $1,000 plus interest. He is now paying up my debt. It's considered as if he gave me the money and I paid the money to the bank. So even though I didn't gain anything out of this deal, and it could be I even gave him a better rate than I have, I had to pay the bank 8%. And I only told him, no matter what, you don't have to pay more than 4%. Nevertheless, unfortunately, that would be considered an isa deraisa of ribis, even though I'm not gaining anything out of it. And that's also bavust, hopefully by now, that's the issue with credit cards also. As if I let somebody use my credit card, so and tell him that you just take care of the payments, even though he does not give me any money, and he pays my credit card directly, if ultimately he pays within the grace period, and there is no interest, so then it came out that he did not pay any interest, and there was no iser of taking ribis in this case. Hashenkin, if let's say he doesn't pay right away, but rather the interest begins to accrue, once the interest starts accruing, then it's aser for him to pay the interest, because I'm the one who owes the money to the credit card company, to the bank, because it's on my say-so that the credit card company gave him the merchandise or whatever he used that credit card for. I'm the one who's responsible to the credit card company. I now gave him, so now it's like as if I gave him the money to use that money. And now if he's going to pay the interest, he's paying really me who's paying the interest. And that would also be a case of a ribis katsutza. The question is, the interesting question is, the way that to avoid the problem is, to avoid all the problem is, that I let you use the credit card, and even if you don't pay on time, you are not responsible to pay for the interest. I'll be paying the interest, you don't have to pay the interest. In that way, even though when he uses the credit card for $1,000, it's considered as if I borrowed $1,000 from the bank, and I lent him $1,000, but he's not responsible to pay the interest. That's what we made up. And therefore, in that case, that's the way that a person should allow a person to use the credit card. The question is, what happens if, let's say, we didn't make that up, and the assumption was, I'm going to let you use the credit card, but you'll take care of whatever it costs, you'll take care of the expenses of the credit card. And Lemaisa, there was no interest. Lemaisa, he paid up on time. And there was no actual interest. Is there a problem over here or not? And the shaila really is a shaila of how to learn the Gemara in the beginning, also the beginning of the Parakeh Zeneshech. Now, the question is, like the Simonol of Neshech is an Isa deraisa to actually just make a contract of interest. To make a contract on a loan of interest is an Isa deraisa. The question is, what happens if Lemaisa, it doesn't turn out to be any interest? At the end, let's say, they rip up the shtar, and there is no payment of interest at the end, was there an Aveira done or not? Do we say that this is, so to say, Misakin, that now that you didn't come ultimately to a collection of Rivas, it's Mizgala, that there is no Isar of Loisa Simon? What do you say? No, Loisa Simon is an independent Isar. He made a contract of interest, so that's the question over here. How do we look at the credit card company? Because the credit card company is a little better than the question of the Gemara. In the Gemara's case, we made initially a contract of interest. Here, by the credit card company, I made a contract with the credit card company that if, after the 30-day grace period goes by, at that point, basically we all agreed that we're mekabelin ourselves to pay the interest. But it's not something that right now the interest is accruing. And if from the point of the purchase until that grace period is over, the interest is not accruing yet. So the question is whether there would be the Easter of Lisa Simon. So that's anyway a Shaila, even by a real debt of Ribis, is there an Easter of Lisa Simon, even if ultimately it turns out that there was actually no collection of Ribis, because you made a contract. And by us agreeing to use the credit card, according to the terms of the credit card, that's considered that we agreed to a case of Ribis Katsutsa. So therefore, if a person does allow somebody else to use the credit card, he should make sure that he makes a condition that the person who's using the card will not be responsible for any Ribis payments. Also, what's not so understood in that, but that's also a clear halacha, what about if I go to somebody and I'd like to borrow from him $25,000, and he's ready to give it to me interest-free. But he says, but you know, I'm very involved with this yeshiva, and I'll lend you the $25,000, but I need you to make a donation to the school. You know, you get the tax write-off, you get everything, but I'll lend you the money, but only on the condition that you give the yeshiva, you know, an adava. So that actually would be a nisa ribis deraisa. Because in this case, it doesn't matter who I'm asking. If I tell him, give the money to Yankel, or give the money to Yeshiva, or give the money to anybody, I'm making now a contract of a loan with a condition that you have to pay interest. When I designate somebody else as the recipient, that's considered as if I got that money and gave it to that person. That's the principle of the Din of Arevus, that if somebody is Moitzi Momen Alpi, it's considered as if I received that money. And therefore, it's an Isa Deraisa to make a loan, to give somebody money on a loan, only on the condition that he's going to give money to a different person, or money even to Tzedakah, or whatever. Obviously, it's Mutter Pi halacha, it's mutter to lend money to a guy or borrow money from a guy with ribis. But the question is, the first shaila to discuss is about if a yid is allowed to be an orev, if a yid is allowed to be a co-signer on a loan between a yid and a guy. Is a yid allowed to be a co-signer? A, is he allowed to be a co-signer for the Jew? And B, is he allowed to be a co-signer for the guy? Depending, in other words, who is the one who's borrowing the money. Now, in halacha, we have three types of arevim, three types of co-signers. One co-signer is an arev stam, which means that if the loiver, the borrower, does not have any money, he has no ability to pay, then you have a right to go to the arev. But as long as the loiver has money, or he has assets, he has things that can be sold in order to be able to pay the debt, so then you can't go to the arev yet. That's an arev stam. A second arev, a second type of arev, is an arev kablan, which means that the lender has a right to go either to the loive, or if let's say the loive is giving him a hard time, he has a right to go to the malva, to the arev. In other words, even though lemaisa the loive may have assets, but I'm not interested in trying to foreclose on him or to try to make him sell his house or make him sell his car. I'm not interested in doing that. And the deal is that I could go if I have a trouble with the life, or even without trouble, I would like to go to the Arev. That's an Arev Kabbalah. And the third type of Arev is an Arev Shluftutz, which means that my entire deal is, the only one I deal with is the Arev. I'm not even going to look at the loiva. I don't have to go to the loiva. You know, you'd like me to lend this Reuven $1,000? No problem. I'll lend him $1,000, but I'm getting the money from you. I'm collecting the money from you. You're the one who's responsible for the payment. So let's say in the mashal of a guy lent money to a yid. So John lent money to Reuven. $1,000 with interest, and now Shimon is a co-signer on this loan that the guy, the bank, lent to Reuven. Now, if Shimon would be an Orev Stam, a halachic Orev Stam, which means that you cannot go to Shimon unless Reuven has no money, then in that case, as the loan is accruing, and this $10,000 loan now is $11,000 because of the interest. And now the bank would like to go to Reuven to collect that $11,000. And the Maisa, he doesn't have it. So then we turn to the Arev. In that case, it would be Mutta for the Arev to pay. Because now the Arev is paying this money. He's an Arev for Reuven. And that's not a problem for him to pay the $11,000. And it's not a problem for Reuven to pay back Shimon. Now this $11,000, because Shimon put out $11,000, there was an $11,000 debt that Reuven had. Shimon paid the debt of Reuven of $11,000. And Mamela, now Reuven could go back to Reuven and get the $11,000. However, I think probably almost always, it's never a case of an Arev Stam. Always the Arev is can at least be an Arev Kablan. It's an order that the bank doesn't have to start selling out, forcing this person to sell his assets, etc. But they could already go right away to Shimon to collect the money. And therefore, Shimon is considered an Arev Kablan. If Shimon is considered an Arev Kablan and the bank goes to Shimon, then what rights, so to say, do they have to go to Shimon? Reuven is the one who borrowed the money. How do you go to Shimon? So the halacha looks at it as if the bank had lent the money to Shimon, and Shimon had given the money to Reuven. And that's why the bank now is going to Shimon to collect the money, which they gave to Reuven on Shimon's say-so. Shimon was the co-signer, and his say-so, they gave the money to Reuven. So we look at it as if the bank actually gave the money to Shimon, and Shimon is the one who lent the money to Reuven. Which means now that the bank lent Shimon the $10,000, and the interest accrued on Shimon's cheshbon. So now Shimon, when he got halachically that $10,000, he gave it over to Reuven. Now he would not be able to charge that $1,000 back to Reuven. Because since we look at it as if the bank lent Shimon $10,000, and Shimon accrued a $1,000 interest on that loan, Shimon lent the $10,000 to Reuven because Reuven is the one who ended up with the money. So now for Shimon to go back to Reuven and ask for that other $1,000, he can't do that because a loan between Shimon and Reuven can't be a loan with interest. So in a case where there's a person where a bank lends money to a yid, and another yid is the Arav, and generally by the bank, it's at least it's an Arav Kablan, could even be sometimes it's a Shluf Dutz, but for sure it's at least an Arav Kablan. In that case, it would be Asur for the Shimon to be an Arav, unless Shimon wants to be a nice guy, and Shimon will say, I'll be an Arav for you, but I'm not going to be collecting from you any interest that I have to pay to the bank. If eventually the bank comes to Shimon and collects from Shimon the $11,000, and Shimon makes up with Reuven, and Reuven is a good friend of Shimon's, that you can't come back to me for the interest, then it would be muta, because there's no problem for Shimon to pay the $11,000, as long as he only takes back $10,000 from Reuven, as long as he doesn't take the other $1,000 from Reuven. And the same halacha we have in the reverse. If, let's say, Yid lends money to a guy, and now this loan is accruing interest, and Shimon is the Arev for this guy that he should pay back. So again, if it's an Arev Stam, so then in that case it won't be a problem again. Mashenkin, if it's going to be an Arev Kablon, in that way, that way it will be a problem. Because if the Yid is going to be going to Shimon to collect the money, it's going to come out that it was as if Reuven gave the money to Shimon, and Shimon gave the money to the guy at interest. Now, for Reuven to collect from Shimon, to collect the principal plus the interest, is going to be a question again of a ribis. And therefore, again, the only way that it would be mutter is again only if he would be an Arev, not for any of the ribis. Another sugyas that we will see in Perek Ezeneshech about is the question in Mekach Umemker, the various kinds of interest that we have, that we find by Mekach Umemker. The first Mishnah in Ezeneshech discusses the shayla of, I'm going to buy a kur of chitim, a measure of wheat, from somebody who provides it, farmer, whoever, who's going to provide this measure of wheat. I don't need this wheat right now, but I don't need all of it at one time. So make up a price with him now, today's price. The Mishnah says, let's say it's one dinar zahav for a kur of chitim. And I make up with him that you'll give me the kur of chitim as the season progresses. I'll be collecting from you and picking up from you the kur of chitim. So the Mishnah says that if we have the condition that yotza hashar, which means that there's a set price already in the marketplace for a kur of chitim, then it's mutter for me to give in advance a dinar zahav for the measure, for this kur of chitim, for this measure of chitim, even though the price of chitim may go up. And therefore, l'chayre, it should be a question of ribis, because I'm giving you the cash in advance, that's why you're obligating yourself to give me through the season this kur of chitim, even though the price may go up. But since, l'maisa, I gave you now the cash, and you have the ability, because of this cash, to be able to get the produce right now, and have it, and supply it for me, even though you decided not to buy the produce yet at this time, but I made a kinyan kesef ready for that produce, so then there is no isur of ribis in that case. So that's like the first case that we find in the Mishnah that discusses when I'm paying in advance for something, and I'm getting an advantage by the fact that I'm paying in advance, which also basically is, midrabana, we look at it as if I'm lending you that dinasov. I'm kind of lending it to you because you're not giving me the product yet. So I'm like paying in advance. I'm lending you the money now at this point, and you're going to be supplying me with goods later. So in that case, the Mishnah says that that's muta. However, if let's say we don't have the case of the Mishnah with Yotza Hashar, but rather let's say the case, very common shayla, is the shayla of, let's say, I'm going to pay you, I'll give you money in advance. You don't have the product now, but you're going to be getting the product eventually, but you'd like me to pay you in advance, because if I pay you in advance, then you'll be able to get better terms, or whatever. And because I'm paying you in advance, you're going to give me more product than actually this money should normally pay if you'd be delivering the product to me right now. So in that case, that taka is a shayla of ribis. It's an isa derabbanan, because l'maisa it's derech mekach u'mamker, it's not derech alboa. But for me to pay in advance for something, and to get a discount because I'm paying you the money in advance, and therefore you're going to give me, at the end, more value than that money really should buy, that is a problem of ribis, midrabbanan, of being magdim ma'os, of me paying in advance. That brings up the shayla, the famous shayla, about if you're allowed to buy a sefer or anything at, so to say, the pre-publication price. As l'chayr, if I'm going to buy a sefer, somebody wants a size sefer, they'd like to get money in advance, and so the mela, they're going, even though the sefer is going to sell for $25 when it comes out, but right now you can get it before it comes out, you can get it for $22. So in this essence, what we're doing is, I'm lending you money now, because the mice, I'm not getting the product yet, so I'm advancing money, and I'm charging you for the fact that I'm allowing you to use the money before you theoretically had a right to use it, before you gave me the product. So I'm giving you $20 and you're going to be giving me back later a product which is worth $25, and that actually is the simple case that Pashat the Gemara says is awesome. Question is what is taka? Is there a taka hetter for doing this? And this is something which, so to say, much ink has been spilled in trying to be miyashev matter of this pre-publication, and is there a way taka to work out halachically that it should be mutter? One of the etzes that they say, that one of the justifications that they say is to rely on a very big chiddush that Rav Moshe Feinstein, the famous chiddush of Rav Moshe, whose others say it also, is whether there is actually an iser of ribis to collect ribis from a corporation. Since even though halacha does not recognize a corporation as a legal fiction, but halacha does recognize that a corporation is, when a corporation owes money, the halacha recognizes that the extent of the obligation of that corporation is only the assets which it owns, and that there is no personal obligation. And a person can halachically create such a loan. A person can create such a loan halachically that there is no personal obligation. All there is that my assets on Meshubed are responsible to pay the debt through the assets. In other words, there's only a Shibud Nechasim, there is no Shibud Haguf. So halachically, when a corporation takes money from me and obligates itself to give me a item in return. So if, let's say, it's a corporation that is producing this sefer, say it's a big corporation that's producing this sefer, since the corporation does not take personal liability, responsibility to pay back the money, only the assets of the corporation are responsible to pay back the money, in that case, Rav Moshe Zatzal held that there would not be an iser of ribis. Now, the general consensus of most poskim is not like Rav Moshe on this matter, and this is many rayos connected this heter. However, this is one of the snifim that people rely on when, if it's a corporation, at least that's offering the pre-publication price. In such a case, since again, as we said, it's only a question of ribis drabonan, it's not a question of ribis deraisa. So some people are saimech on this heter of Rav Moshe in such a case. the reverse also would be a shayla of ribis. Now, let's say I go to a person and I'd like to buy something, an expensive item from this person, and the person says, you know, how much does this item cost? So the person says, well, it's $12,000, because he expects that I'm not going to be paying up right away now. And I ask him, but if I pay you cash today, how much would you charge me? He says, oh, if you give cash, I'll give it to you now for $11,000. So in that case, there's no question that you could buy it for $11,000. That's not the problem. But the problem is, if you decide, you know what, I'd rather hold the cash, and I'll pay the $12,000, you know, over time, that would be an issur of ribis. Because in this case also, what's happening? What's happening is, I'm purchasing an item which, if I pay for it today, the price is $11,000. That means that the price of the chafetz is $11,000. If I pay you in a month from now, or 6 months from now, then I'll have to give you $12,000. So what that means is, the value of the chafetz is $11,000. Because the value of the chafetz is determined by how much would I have to pay for the chafetz now. When I pay for the chafetz, what would I get? So the object is worth $11,000. I'm charging you $12,000 because I'm extending you the credit 6 months. So therefore, I'm charging you that extra thousand. So that was an issur of ribis. Again, it's a ribis derabbanan, because it's a ribis derech mekar from emkar. But in such a case, that taka would be awesome. If a person, so it would be mutter to pay the 11,000 today. And it's also for sure mutter if you pay only 11,000 in 6 months. But the problem is to pay the 12,000, that would be a problem of ribis. So if a person just comes, if I know that you're not going to pay cash, I know that you're going to just pay that, and I say to how much is this thing, and I say it costs $12,000, and okay, do I have time to pay? Yes, you know, we always give 6 months, whatever, so then it's not a problem to pay the $12,000. It's only if I mention, or if it's known that the value, that this product is sold for $11,000, or if I say, if you pay me now, then you can get it for 11, but if you don't want to extend credit, if you want me to extend you to pay in 6 months from now, then the price is 12, that's what creates the problem of ribis. But unless it's something which is muchach, that the price obviously is inflated because of the extension of credit, then that also would be usur. And that really brings up an old shaila that's discussed already for many, many years, and that is a shaila about a cash discount. In other words, if let's say if there's you know, I bill you this amount, in other words, assuming that you'll pay in 30 days, I bill you this amount, but if you pay up in 10, or if you pay up right away, then you get a 2% discount. So the question is, does that really work when you say the price is $12? But if you pay today, then you know I'll give you a discount and I'll give it to you cheaper, I'll give it to you for 10. Because Lamaise, if I pay now, then that's the price. So that also is a big discussion in the Paiskim, and it's even the Matirim, the ones that were Matir, rather Munkat Shadayim is the one who was Matir from a few generations ago, who was Matir on this Shaila, is also only Matir in specific kinds of cases where that's the whole Derech Mekach HaMemka is always like that. It's not even expected in those cases, but otherwise, lamaisa, if a person does with a deal where there's going to be a cash discount, then either pay the cash, or try to get the cash discount without, even if you pay later, or the way the person should do it is that he should do a het to iska in order to avoid the shaila of ribis. So we can't go into now the mechanics of, you know, how the hetis could work in this case, but that's what a person should really incorporate. If a person taka does business selling merchandise and involved in this kind of a business where he does do these discounts, then it's proper that a person should make a hetis klali, at least to try to avoid this shaila. Another very big sugya in Hilchos Ribis is the question of, let's say, Reuven owes me $1,000. So I have a shtar, a note from Reuven that he owes me $1,000. And now I would like to get cash. I need cash. So I go to Shimon, and I say to Shimon, I have a note from Reuven for $1,000. Would you like to buy it for $900? Would you like to buy this note for $900? So Shimon is willing to buy the note for $900. So Shimon is now paying cash $900, and in 3 months from now, when that note is due, he's going to be collecting the $1,000. So is that a shaila of ribis or not? So the halacha is that it depends. If Shimon except if Shimon buys the debt. Now, Reuven owes me the $1,000, and now Shimon buys the debt. That now I'm selling that debt to Shimon, and now Reuven owes Shimon the $1,000. Then that's not a problem, because you can discount a note. If a person owes, if somebody owes me $1,000, I can go to that person and say, give me $900 and I'll be mochel you the rest. That's not a problem. So there's not a problem also for Shimon to be buying a note for a discounted price. That's really a Mishnah Makis that discusses about what the value of a note is. A note is not as valuable as the cover, the amount of money on the note, because there's always risks involved, etc. So there is such a chetza as selling a note. The question is, but it's only mutter if it's taka, the note is sold to Shimon, which means A, that now the responsibility is now that Reuven, he can't come back to me. If let's say Reuven doesn't pay the money, he can't come back to me to ask me for the money. Because the Maisa, he bought the debt that now Reuven owes Shimon the money. So I'm now, so to say, out of the picture over here on this case. If he would like me to still be guaranteeing that note, he gave me the money, the $900 for that note, and he wants me to guarantee it. So the pshat is that still, Reuven still owes me the money, and now Reuven owes me the money. He's giving me $900, and I'm giving him $1,000 back. Because when Reuven pays that $1,000, I'm the one. He gave me $900. For the note, and now I'm paying him $1,000 back. That is the problem of ribbis, because then he gave me $900, in which I'm paying him back $1,000. But if I'm out of the picture, if the pshat is that Reuven now is the one who owes him the money, I sold my note, my right that I had on Reuven to Shimon, and now Shimon collects it from him, then that would be mutter. And it's very interesting to note. The Rabbi Yisrael Reisman Shlita has a magnificent sefer on Hilchas Ribbis, magnificent sefer on Hilchas Ribbis. So discusses actually the Shaila, which is discussed also very much in the Sefer Bris Yehuda, and that is the Shaila with checks. Now, so selling a note is one thing. As when Reuven owes me $1,000, I have a note from Reuven, a shtar from Reuven that he owes me $1,000, and I can sell that shtar. So that's Gemara, as we know about Mechira Shtaris, that you can sell a shtar, and how do you sell it? If I sign over the note to him, and I'm moist of the note to him, so he's kind of now the debt with Ksivu Mesira, and that's how he's kind of it. The Shaila is, how does a check work exactly? As if, let's say, Reuven writes a check to me for $1,000. And let's say the check is post-dated. Well, let's say I know that I'm not going to be able to get the money yet right now from Reuven. And I need cash, and I would like to now go to somebody else and get cash for this check. And now this $1,000 check that he gave me, he's going to give me $950 now for that check, and he's going to collect that money from Reuven. So how do we look at this whole concept of a check? So it's very interesting. We saw Reisman Shlita investigating the banking laws here in Eretz Yisrael and in America, and he concludes there's actually a very big difference between what a check means in Eretz Yisrael, a check written on an Israeli bank, and a check written on an American bank. And he wants to betoyla this shayla in the shayla of does a person, after he writes a check, does he have a right to put a stop payment on that check? In America, in American banking laws, a person has a right to put a stop payment on a check even without cause. In Eretz Yisrael, it's usur to put a stop payment on a check unless there's cause. Without cause, a person doesn't have a right to put a stop payment. So he wants to, let's say, coming back to America, he's saying if in America, when Reuven writes a check to Shimon, writes a check, let's say, to me, right? And the question is now, how do we look at this check? As Mitzad Echad, the bank, since Reuven deposited $1,000 with the bank, So the bank owes Reuven $1,000. Now, Reuven doesn't, the money that Reuven has in the bank is really a loan, you know, even though he has it in his savings account, but halachically it's a loan to the bank. Right? Because the bank's not in a safe deposit box, but it's a pikudin. It's a loan. Reuven deposited $1,000 with the bank, and now the bank owes Reuven $1,000. Reuven now writes a check to Shimon. So how do we understand now the check that Reuven is writing to Shimon? Is when Reuven writing a check now to Shimon, is Reuven transferring, so to say, his loan, the money that the bank owed to Reuven, now the bank is going to owe to Shimon? Is that the pshat? Or is it the pshat that we look at it, that Reuven is just instructing, has instructed the bank that instead of giving him the money, should give the money to Shimon. But the debt that Reuven, the bank has, is still a debt that is to Reuven. The bank still owes money Reuven. Reuven is making a shlichus, so to say. He's telling the bank, by writing the check, is telling the bank to go, and now I'm instructing you to pay the debt that you owe to me. I'm asking you to give it to this person. And the shaila then is, when you transfer over a note, a check to somebody else, are you transferring over the debt that the bank has, that the bank had to Shimon, is now the bank owing it to Levi? That's the way the Eretz Yisrael, the Kapoiskim, and Chas Yitzchak, and Rish Yehuda understand the concept of the check in Eretz Yisrael, that you can't put a stop payment on it. The owner can't, unless there's cause, I guess, fraud or whatever. But without cause, a person can't put a stop check, because the pshat is, they're understanding it, that the bank now owes Shimon the money. That there was a train, when he wrote the check, it was actually, so to say, a star now that the bank owes Shimon the money. And now, when it's being transferred to Levi, so now the bank is owing the money to Levi. In that case, it comes out that there wouldn't be the shilas of ribis on the discount. But if the pshat is that the debt is still there by the original person, it's just a question of directing, of where to direct the money, then the pshat is that Reuven is still the one who's on the hook here for this money. He's the one who's still achroy for it, and therefore there could be shilas of ribis. So anyway, that is the complications that we, you know, encounter in the halachas of ribis. Is part of the complication is not to understand exactly in the financial world that we live in, how exactly is it? And it's interesting that in the lumdus of the check, Rav Reisman found steers in the banking laws about it, until he, you know, pretty much came out that they're not looking at it like a lamdan. In other words, deciding about what the muhus of a check is, but rather putting together, patching laws together that they felt would protect the consumer and protect the bank and make things easy without even really going into the lumdus of exactly what's happening. But for us, in Hilchos Ribis, you have to know exactly who is the leiva, who is the malva, who is it? Is it a sale of the debt? Is it just instructions? In order for us to know what the true thing is. And another, you know, obvious big shaila is the shaila of when a person is doing transactions, you know, intercontinental, if a person is doing transactions between types of currencies. Notice in Hazohav, we just learned that when there's two types of currencies, there's a gold currency and a silver currency. The silver currency is considered the currency. And compared to the silver, the gold is considered, just peyra, is considered the peyra, the fruit, is considered the merchandise, rather, and not considered the currency. When you lend currency for currency, even though, so to say, we say the dollar fell, the dollar rose, but by us, the currency, we always look at the currency as being stable, and merchandise is what goes up and what goes down. And therefore, if you lend money and you lend dollars and you pay back dollars, that's not going to be a shaila of ribis, even if at the time that when you lent a dollar, it was worth that much yen or that much euro, and now at the time when you're paying back, it's worth more euros or more yen, that's not going to make a difference, because we always look at the currency of this mokaim as that's the kesef, and everything else is what's, so to say, moving, but the currency doesn't move. question is then, of course, between currencies, when you're dealing between currencies, you know, where the loiva is, where the malva is, and those are, you know, big questions that the Gedolei Yisrael have, you know, worked on and have tshuvas on. And especially in Eretz Yisrael, it becomes even more complicated, because in Eretz Yisrael, it's hard to know. It could be at Saka Machlek, is American Paiskim and the Eretz Yisrael, the Paiskim, of what is the real currency in Eretz Yisrael. Is the shekel the currency, or is the dollar the currency? In other words, when everything is, and everything, apartments are sold in dollars, everything is sold in dollars, everything is tzamud to the dollar, so the question is, will they admit that they taka don't have a currency, they have just payra? And then the shaila would be, if you borrow a shekel, could you pay back with a shekel, or do you actually have to pay, you know, according to the dollar value? So those are also shailas which we will leave for the Kedeli HaPaiskim to Paskin.